somebody got a cross I could carry right now. Kidding. I'm kidding. And we're here we are talking about our number one priority today. Oh, Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just submit our hearts and our minds to you, God. And we just ask you, Lord, to just orchestrate, Father, that which you've purposed in my heart, Father, that I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to share today. Father, help me, God, to not be just a pastor in an earthly form, but supernaturally infuse the Spirit of God into my lips, my ears, my mind, and my thoughts. God, that I would be used by your Spirit to break off the yokes, to just break up fallow ground, Father, that as the word of the Lord would go forth, it would change lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. With that being said, it is good to be back home. It's a privilege to teach you, to help equip you to live this life. We were on vacation for a couple weeks, and not that I don't love vacation, but I love being home as well. I am a homebody, and God knew that when he called us all, he knew that he could call Dad to the nations and he could leave and we would hold down the fort, because I am very happy being right here in America on American soil. I'll just say that. We're going to continue our series called Back in Order. And a subtitle being that life is better when ordered God's way. If you write nothing down, write that down, because it's a thought to live by. Life is better when ordered God's way. And sometimes man has this great, great facilitation that we think we're helping God by ordering our own life. And let me tell you, you're not helping God with anything. You're hurting yourself by not living according to his, being dependent solely upon him. He sets our priorities. And here's the thing. I was doing some follow-up on this. And as Pastor Kylan spoke to you the first week, he reminded us that God himself is not a priority. He's not something you can put on a to-do list and check him off. He's the one who orders the list. He is the list. All life, all things that we do comes by him, from him, and we live through him to the world and to our families. But oftentimes we think there's something that we ought to do more. I can very simply start a marriage counseling session out and simply ask you, David, on a scale from 1 to 10, what does your relationship look like with Jesus today? And I'm putting you on the spot, I know. 1 through 10, one being the worst, 10 being the best. What's that look like?
It's a 9.
It's a 9? Sharon, what's yours look like from a 1 to 10?
A 9.
Okay. So you have 90% of a good marriage, but 10% you could improve. Boom. I say that because, she needs more than 10%. I see. That's all right, David. This message is for you today. Here's what I'm here to express to you. In every situation of your life, if you will value and gauge what your situation looks like based on your relationship with Christ, because I'm telling you, if it's not good, God's not done with it. If it's not good, then there's one answer that you do. You seek the Lord for the provision of that problem. That's what it is. But we don't. We seek our friends. We seek more hours at work to fix our financial problem. We seek a natural counselor for our marriage. I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying that's wrong. But if you're going to a counselor first before you've laid at the feet of Jesus for him to just do some transforming work, that's a problem. That's a problem. God's come to make all things new. Everything we do comes from him, through him, and we live this life because of him. So he's not on your to-do list. However, with that being said, your marriage should be on your to-do list. And I want to speak to some of the singles out there. You know, this has become more aware than anything before because of losing our pastor. My mother also lost a husband. So she's a widow. That's the weirdest thing to me. I woke up 4 days after Dad had passed away, and I'm like going to Mom's house, and I'm like, "You're single." And she's like, "And?" I'm like, "I just want you to know it just came to my mind. You're single." And she's like, "Yeah." And immediately it gripped my heart with fear. Because I'm like, we're not getting another dad, are we? Like, I got some lines. Like, I just had to put some boundaries in place. She's like, relax, relax. This is fine. I'm a widow. I like that word a whole lot better than single. But I'm just here to remind you that if you are of the people of God, you are sons and daughters living in a powerful, purposeful life given by God. We are filled with His Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. See, some people say it's the Holy Spirit. Let me refine this to you. A part of His Spirit in heaven lives inside of you. What? The Holy Spirit of the Most High God is inside of me. He came down and lives inside and through me. And because of that, I no longer live a natural life. I don't live a natural life as a mother. I don't live a natural life in my job. I don't live a natural life in this pastorship. This is a supernatural life that I'm living out. And I'm living it because the Spirit of life Himself gave me life, breathed life into me, and now He wants me to breathe it out for the world. That's you. So if our lives aren't good, it's only because we're not accepting the fullness of the Spirit of God and allowing it to operate in, through, and for us and be expelled from us. Do you see? So you are a supernatural being. It changes the way you and I do this life. This is what makes us separate from the world. Listen to this. We are filled with His Spirit and empowered to live a Christ-like life and do it in this earth for our families and bring glory to God. When we do it His way. Not Pastor Nicole's way, not Pastor Randy's way, not any book way you've read. I'm all about Mr. Parrott's books. Those are great. I'm all about His Needs, Her Need books. Those are great too. But it's not about living it according to whatever that guy's, I can't remember his name, Larry someone's name. It's not about living life according to that. It's about living life according to the Spirit of God. Amen. And what His Word says. This is, in this world, it's a very dark time. The world's become lovers of themselves, haters of everything, everything. Everyone who doesn't agree with them, it's contentious, it's fired up. It's already at 90% hate before you even tell them the problem. No, I'm not kidding. Everybody's looking for something to fulfill this need. They're looking for somebody to be angry at. They're looking for to become something. They're looking to love something. They're looking to be loved by something. It's a dark time. But now more than ever, the world needs to see the true bride of Christ. And that's you and I. And if we don't function as families, if we're only full of dysfunction, hate, dishonesty, disunity, not in one accord in our families, in our relationships with others, then how do you think there's going to be glory brought to the bride of Christ? If all we do is fight, bicker, and complain. And the Lord's like, yeah, I don't want a marriage like that. That's broke. Get it fixed. Like, even the world can see something that's healthy or not healthy. But yet it seems like the church sometimes wants to hide unhealthy. Does everyone realize why we're here? This is just a hospital for the unhealthy. These are just people that are healthy enough to identify, I'm unhealthy and I need help. And that doesn't make me weak because I need help. Because when I am weak, oh, that's when my God is strong. See, when I become solely dependent upon Him, because in my own earthliness, in my own humanness, in my own natural being, I am not enough to be a good wife. I am not enough to raise my children in the admonition of the Lord and that they wouldn't depart. I'm not enough. Trust me. Trust me. See, I'm a little past some of you young mothers out there. I'm getting my grade card. My grade card's coming in. My kids are old enough to say, well, when I have kids, I'm not doing this, 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 and this. Well, that's your grade card. You know what that means? They think you failed in that area. Here's the problem. I don't care if they think I failed. I did the best I could do, and I left the rest up to God. He's going to have to fix all that because I can't go back. I can't change how much I controlled them. I thought I was creating an atmosphere that was healthy, that wasn't full of sin. Still to this day, every boy that comes in my house with a book bag, it's getting searched. I'm making sure there ain't nothing in that bag going upstairs. I can't help that. That's just who I was. My dad was going to saw my car in half and leave it on the road if I came home after midnight. I'm like, I'm calling the police. He said, and I'll tell them I did it. He said, but there ain't no girl of mine going to be on the streets at midnight because nothing good happens. Like, oh my gosh. It didn't matter if I was 18 and got out on my own. I was still under his thumb. And so I parented like I was parented. I didn't know that there could be a different way, that I didn't have to saw their car in half. By the way, I didn't saw anybody's car in half. But I'm just saying, the world is looking at us. But it's not a time for passivity as Christians to just allow our life to remain, oh, it's okay. We're getting through it. You know, I got time to read. I got time to pray. And, you know, our marriage is okay. It's fine. Are you kidding me? Take off your mask. Because that's not true Christianity. That's stopping beyond the mark. That's you living like you want during the week and then coming to church and acting like everything's A-okay. Listen, it's not A-okay. My marriage ain't A-okay. Your marriage ain't perfect, so quit acting like it. Take off your mask and say these are problems. These are true problems that we're dealing with, and we don't have it all worked out. Do you realize that? But passivity will cause us to stay in the place of lack and then tell the world that lack is okay within the church when we teach a Jesus that provided everything we have need of. That's called a hypocrite. That's called a pharisaical view, that you think you've got it all worked out and you live your life like you do, and then everyone's looking at you going, you ain't got that worked out. Keep working it out. Just say you don't have it worked out. It's okay to fall short because there's enough grace. I loved Pastor Tim's communion message. The world needs to see genuine relationships, genuine marriages, genuine parents that are willing to accept, maybe I didn't do that all right, but this I did really good. And I believe I did the best I could. And God's looking at this more than he's looking at how my performance was with my children. He's looking at your heart. Passivity is not allowed in the church. Leadership must arise from our households. It must. And I'm going to speak to this. I know Pastor Randy talked a lot to the men yesterday. But women, I'm going to be honest with you. If you are home with your children from 8 o'clock till 4 o'clock, the leader of that house is you. Step up and speak life into those children. That is you. You are the leader and the nurturer of your home for those 8 to 12 hours a day. And you've already decided how your children are going to be reared, how your children are going to be raised. And you're joining forces with the leader of your home and you're saying, this is what we've chosen. I'm going to enforce what we talked about. I'm going to enforce what we've prayed about because this child is not like any other child I've seen. It's bad when the daycare calls you and says, Nick, this kid's not learning like the other ones. Guess what that means? I got to go to the maker. I got to go to the maker above my husband and say, Lord, here we come. Randy and I hand in hand going, we don't know. We don't get this kid. Oh, by the way, let me tell you who does get your kid. Jesus. He gets us. And I don't care whether you like the Super Bowl ad, whether you don't like the Super Bowl ad. You can gripe whether Jesus washed the feet of sinners. You can just spit on it all day long. I don't care. But let me tell you something. When no one else gets me, when no one else cares about me, when everyone else has turned their back and walked away, Jesus says, I get you. I get you. You don't know why? Because I put on human flesh to come and walk like you. I put on human flesh so that I could feel like you. And I get exactly where you're at today. I understand what you're feeling. I get how you're thinking. But let me show you a better way. Let me tell you that I came to save you. I came to redeem you. I came to give you life. He gets us. Do you understand that? He gets exactly where every heart of every person in this house is today. Your very struggle, he understands. But he refuses to let you sit there. He came to give you life. Let's go to Corinthians. I want to talk straight to the single. Oh, the single ladies out there today. I have never listened to the fullness of that song. That's just all I've heard advertised. I just want everyone to know that. I hear it's not a good song. All right, 7:29. I'm going to be reading out of the NLT, and I'm going to jump over. If you want to keep on the screen, you can. It says, but let me say this, dear brothers and sisters. The time that remains is very short. So from now on, those with wives should focus only on their marriage. Ooh, jump down to 31. Those who use the things of the world should not focus only on their marriage. Good answer, Andy. Thank you. If this is what it says. This is why I brought these. That's why. Now the message changes. Okay. Verse 31, those who use the things of the world should not become attached to them, for this world as we know it will soon pass away. I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. I want to talk today about our first priority, which is marriage. But I don't want to negate the singles who are not married at this time. He just set your priority in order. Now, I'm asking you to hear what we're preaching today, because if you're not married, you may become married. This applies for everybody but my mother. Just want you to know. She gets to get married when I say she gets to get married. I'm just kidding. Trust me, this will not divide us. It'll be fine. But he specifically tells us our priority if we're single. I look at Loretta. Loretta, you know what? You're allowed to be about the Lord's business at a far greater level than I am. You're allowed to think about him day and night. You don't have to worry about meeting the needs of any other person except your extended family. Family's important. You don't get to lock yourself in a closet. You don't get to stay there for years and years and years and years and never come out and ignore your children that have been, or your aunts, your uncles, your mother, your father. Those are healthy relationships, friendships. You want to know? Because you were made to do life with people. You were made that. And don't, singles, I want you to know this. This doesn't mean you're allowed to not have relationships. It means that the relationships you're fostering don't have to be in line next. It means the Lord is the one walking with you. You're constantly submitting and walking with him, constantly submitting underneath his hand and doing exactly what he tells you to do. See, if he tells me to go somewhere on a Tuesday night and my kids got soccer, that's a hard-pressed thing. You got to stop an 18-wheel truck with the brakes on so that I can go minister to somebody and do this, because I've got all these things that have to be lined up. That's not what your life looks like. You get to stop at the beck and call of Jesus. And let me tell you something. He knows that. He knows that. And he calls on women and men like you and says, I need you to go do this. And it could be all hours of the night. It could be whatever he needs, when he needs it, and how he needs it. And let me tell you something. There's some people, Randy says this well. He said, all the flies on the outside of the screen, which aren't married, one on the inside. And all the flies on the inside that are married are trying to get out. Here's the problem. Just happy, be happy where you are. And just do the best for Jesus that you can. And for today, you're just going to have to hear the message on marriage, because it is our number one priority after Christ. Now, we're going to get in Matthew, the seventh chapter. I want to read this to you. We're going to start here today, because I think it's still important that you realize what we're building our lives upon. I better put my glasses on. Okay. It says, by the way, my topic in my Bible says the wise and foolish builders. I want to be sure I'm on the right side of that reading, by the way. It says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine, meaning the words that are written in this word, and puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and it beat against that house and it fell with a great crash. Now here's what I want to point out today is that people build our lives on a lot of different things. We build our houses on financial worth. How much do you make? Oh, yeah, he doesn't have a really good job. You know, that really affects. These are just conversations I hear. Instead of building their life on the value placed in God. People build their lives in society. I grew up in a small town where everyone's name mattered. And let me tell you something. The guidance counselor wasn't coming to Nikki Dosik, to find out what she wanted to be in life. She was going to all the kids that had already had parents in higher education because she was putting her bolts and nuts over there going, these people are going to college. That one right there, nope, she ain't got it. You know what my major was in high school? Home ec. You want to know why I took home ec? So I could eat every day. That's how much time the guidance counselor spent with me. Because I didn't have the right society portrait. I wasn't that kid. My dad and mom, they were both working, mom and dads. That's just how it worked. And that's the way it was. There was no stay-at-home mom teaching me the curriculum before we went to school. It was, did you read your homework? And if you didn't, you're going to get beat when you get home. Like, it was that simple. Like, it was on. There's people who build their life on beauty. You ever met that person? She got her nails done. She got her eyelashes done. She just puts her life in beauty. I'm giving you a joke. It's not me, but I'm saying that. It matters. And what they do is they're consumed with what everybody thinks of them. Everybody thinks of them. They walk around in this fake facade all the time that everything's just perfect. They eat. Lots of these people match their clothes. Randy, stand up. I'm just kidding. Wanted to make sure we didn't match today. We did not get dressed together. My point is they care about how they're perceived. Not really anything that has to do with anything that's in their heart. It's the way they're perceived amongst their peers. And as long as that's okay, they can live like devils outside of the church. But when they're in the church, as long as they're put together in this pretty package and all their highlighters in the right place and their makeup's done perfect, then they can put on the facade and feed an inside, less of a value system, but feed their inside lie that everything is okay. When really everything on the inside is busting apart. It's just in shrapnel. If you ask the right question in that moment, they will just break and cry and just begin pouring out their heart because it's so broke. And then there's the people that build their life upon education. As you know, how perfect and how smart they are and how educated. And I'm going to be honest with you. I applaud the kids that can find out what X is and what Y is. I applaud that. I really gave up. I don't care. I'm going to be honest with you, that fraction thing, if I could get through the measuring cups in home ec, I was good. But once they started me to ask me to read that tape measure, I'm getting a digital form. I don't need that anymore. I don't need to know those lines on that digital tape unless Y2K happens all over again and we don't have any computers to help us. My point is, can the kid that's educated, that knows how to find X, that knows how to find Y, that knows how to understand how much mass is in a cylinder, whether it's liquid, solid, or chemical. I don't care. Do they know why Jesus died for them? Can they tell you why they're going to heaven? Can they tell you why they won't? Because if they can't, then it doesn't matter that they can explain why in a fraction or an X, whatever they call that thing, exponential something, I don't even know. Math was not my subject. Exponent, that's what it was. I, I don't care. See, God's people, you, me, when we build our lives upon the rock, that's the plan for us. But when you don't, trust me, the rain is coming. If it hasn't hit your house yet, it's coming. Your kids will make a mistake. Someone's going to be on drugs. Someone might fall into alcohol. Someone might have premarital sex. Guess what? If you build your house on the rock, when the shaking comes, when the rain comes, at the end, you're going to be standing. I'm not telling you flower pots might not be on the front porch. I'm not telling you that all your clothes are going to be hung up perfect in your closet the way you ordered them. You're going to make it. When sickness and disease comes to your house and tells you that you've got an incurable disease and you're going to die, guess what? You're going to make it. When someone you love dies unexpectedly and you don't understand, it's going to happen. It's going to shake. Look, it's going to shake. It's going to fall. But look. Okay, it's good. It's good. I'm still standing. It's good, good. Why? Because you were built on the rock. You were built on the words of the Word. You were built on the Holy Spirit, which is telling you this is the order you live your life. Pastor Mike, you're still standing, buddy. You're still standing. It's all right. It's all right. We will stand. And we're going to make it through what the enemy brings our way. Let's go to Genesis, the second chapter. God defines his order very strongly for us and why marriage is so important. I might touch on some toes this morning or step on some. I don't mean to. I want you to understand this is done with the utmost respect to every sex out there, male and female. Here's what the word says. Second chapter. 18th verse. It says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper who is just right for him. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose for a name for each one. By the way, this is God asking man to come create with him. Isn't that beautiful? Adam, just speak it. And I'll name it. You say it out. Doesn't matter. Nothing sounds too stupid. Caterpillar. Whatever. He gave names to all the livestock, for the birds of the sky and all the wild animals. But still there was no helper just right for him. So I did a little bit of research. What does helper mean in the Hebrew? Here's what it says. And I'm going to do my best to pronounce it right. Azar Kinetico. It's mentioned 22 times in the Old Testament, and most of the times, except in these two and two other times, it is the exact same spelling, and it's mentioned, and it's referring to a life or death situation. And it's referred to as only Yahweh can come save it. Do you understand that God looked at man and realized that if I don't intervene, this is not a good situation? Now, by the way, let me refer to something. In the first chapter, the chapter before this, God has already said that, then God said, this is 126, and God said, let us make mankind in our image. Did he say, let us make man? Mankind in our image. So that was more than one. In our likeness. So that they, that's plural, but he's only made one. Does God know he's going to make Eve, or is she an afterthought? Come on. This is what society tries to tell you. Society tries to tell you that woman was an afterthought because God didn't do it right the first time. I don't believe that at all. My God knows the end from the beginning. He knows all things. Now, was there a purpose and a plan that he had to reveal to Adam? I don't know. We don't have all the type. This is a mystery in the scripture. But I'm going to tell you, this is no way, no reason, no shape or form for a woman to be belittled as a secondary thought of God when the entire New Testament is written to reconcile the less than to the greater. Do you realize you and I are Gentiles, not Jewish people? We are not God's chosen people. We are the afterthought. I'm not an afterthought. I'm a Gentile who said yes to Jesus, and now I have the same rights as the Jewish children, and now I'm a child of God. There's no way that my God made man and looked at him and went, well, I'm going to give you something subpar to help you out. I'm going to give you something a little less than you, but it's going to be a good comparison. No, the word helper means rescuer. What? A rescuer. In other words, Adam's not going to make it if I don't send something to fix this situation. And Eve wouldn't make it without Adam. Do you understand? He made something comparable. Randy, stand up. You're my husband. I just want to preface that for the world. Let me show you something. Do you see his body profile? No. So masculine that it is. Now, every part Randy has an indent, I have an extremity. Look. You see that?
Yeah, feels good too.
Okay, enough of that already. I am his counterpart in every single way. Everywhere he has an indent, I have something else. Where he has an extremity, I have an indent. Why? Because God needed them to come together as one to fulfill his purpose. Not to fulfill your purpose.
Oh, okay.
And not to fulfill my purpose, but to fulfill our purpose. Oh. Woo! We didn't plan that. That's just how fun it is. Listen, the world has taught. And listen, the Old Testament, if you look at it, God spent the entire Old Testament bringing value to women. Bringing value to their place in a household. Look, there are divine distinctive roles. And I'm okay that I'm the nurturer. I'm okay that I'm the one that cries. I'm okay that I don't have as many muscles as you do. That means you take the trash out because it's too heavy for me. I'm okay with that. Do you get that? Why are we struggling? It doesn't mean because we have different roles that we are not equal in God's eyes. There's no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no bond, there's no free, there's no woman, there's no male. Why can we not see this? Yet we're still straining on gnats. No one's better than the other. Two individual people with their own ideas. Their own dreams, their own thoughts, their own roles. Listen, how do you tell a man that his wife makes $90,000 a year and he makes 20? Because one chose to know what X and Y meant and one chose they didn't care. How do you tell that man that you have to go provide for a family and the woman has to stay home with her children when they're okay in that role switch? How? How can you say that? That child is still being nurtured. They're still being nurtured. This is the unity of male and woman. And if that doesn't look the way it looks to you, that's okay. As long as they're operating under the Holy Spirit and under that covering and putting their marriage first. This is huge in the big picture. Here's what the word says. Keep going on. Just right for him. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man, the Lord God, took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made the woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. And Adam says, at last, the man exclaimed, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Let me ask you this. If it's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, then how can it be less than? Do I have any part of my body that's not as important as the other? Come on, guys. Where did our ability to just ask good, solid questions come from? She will be called woman because she was taken from man. This explains why man leaves his father and mother. Number priority one. Did you just see that? This is why a man leaves his mother and his father and does what? Cleaves to his wife. He is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. And I know that's Randy's probably favorite scripture out of the entire Bible. I think when all of our kids leave, he might have a naked room. Just kidding, just kidding. Listen, our job as husband and wife is to help the other reach their full capacity and commitment to Jesus. See, when Randy is weak, I'm the one pushing him and saying, honey, this is where we need to go. Look, this is good. This is good. Let's just get right back to here. This is a safe space. When I'm the one that's failing and wailing, he's like, it's okay, I got you. Just lean, I got this. This is what we do one for another. Do you realize that you are the biggest influencer of your spouse? You can make or break your spouse's relationship with Jesus. You can push them to the Lord, or I hate to use the word, you can walk with them to the Lord, or you can pull them away from the Lord. You get that? We learned that last week about Lot. Lot's wife, Lord have mercy having a wife like her. I mean, of all things, God saves her, and yet she's still turning around looking, turns into a pillar of salt. I don't know, that's pretty bad. The priority is that they were joined together, united as one. You know, Lincoln and Grace got married just recently, and he just straight out served us notice. Don't be meddling in our marriage. I'm like, we're not going to be meddling, bro. I don't want anything to do with it. It's fine. He's like, I just want you to know, if we need counsel, we're not coming to you. I said, well, I didn't think you were. He said, well, I'm not coming to Tony and Kathy either. That's Grace's parents. He said, I'm not going there either. I said, okay. Well, do you have somebody lined up? Well, I got some people, yeah. I said, okay, just make sure they're not your friends. Because your friends aren't going to counsel you. You need a true marriage that's been involved for a while, and they can walk you through some things. Yeah, they go into mom. Is that where they're headed? Yeah, I see. I don't even know. It's all right. He's cleaving to his wife, and he's making her a priority. And that's hugely important. Let's talk about what priority means. It says that it's to regard that more than you regard anything else. Ooh. How many of us treat our spouse like they're the most regarded out of everything we do? Or is it our job? Is it our hobbies? Wives, is it when your children walk in the room, your face lights up, but when your husband does, you frown? I'm talking straight. Like, it's real easy to love something or someone that loves you unconditionally, and that's children. But it takes a whole lot more of the Holy Spirit and a whole lot more of Jesus to love something that often brings you friction, that often brings an abrasion to you. Why? Because he's taking off the rough edges. He's making you better. He's turning you into Christ. He's making you love a little deeper, serve a little longer. Men, you're having to talk a little longer. You're having to touch outside of sexual touch. You're having to give affection because she needs it. She's soft. She's tender. She needs gentleness. You see? Do we regard our spouses? I think that the thing that I was talking with Ashley the other day, and she said, you know, Nicole, she said, I was talking to her about when we had kids, how I felt like there was no time for my husband. And she said, you know, I think I've learned that through my marriage that it's not about how much time I get with Andrew, but how much quality I get when I have the time. See, priorities are not about 8 hours. So I got to spend 8 hours with Jesus, 8 hours with my spouse, 8 hours with my kids, and 8 hours at work. It's not about equal time. It's about my mind, even though I'm working and punching these parts, my mind is set up on my priorities. And oftentimes I'm reminiscing over scripture throughout my day because I'm learning about the things of God and I want to meditate on his word day and night. But it also might mean that about a half hour before work's over, I got to start thinking about my spouse who's at home, who's been with four children, who's exhausted, who's got flour on her face. She sweats. She hasn't had a shower. She's got puke on the other shoulder. And she's just going to need me when I walk in that door to just go, baby, I got this. You go do what you need to do. Daddy's home. I got this. Come on, babies. Let's start eating dinner. Mom's going to take some time to herself. You see? It's not about quality time, like time for time. It's about that your mind is focused. And let me say this, women, you are notorious, or any male that's staying home with children, you must reserve time and energy for when your spouse comes home. This is hard because, see, I'm an all-in girl. I'm an all-in. If you say we're stacking wood, we're stacking wood. I'm coming to stack wood. I'm not thinking about the soreness tomorrow. I'm not thinking about getting injured. I'm not thinking about water. I'm showing up to stack wood, and we're going to stack it till it's done. When I show up to be a mother, I show up to be a mother, and I'm all in. But the problem is sometimes my husband would come into that environment, and he just needed to be acknowledged. But I've got no energy left. I've got no nothing. I'm fresh tapped at 8 o'clock. My kids are asleep. I'm waiting for them to sleep so I can sleep. But your husband has needs. We as spouses must be sure that we're conserving and saving back a little portion that our husband or our wife gets when they get home, even though we've poured ourselves out at our job. Maybe you're an entrepreneur. It is your job. It's your life. It's everything about you. You know what? Those are hard places to be. But with Holy Spirit, he takes this natural ability and turns it into a supernatural cause. Husbands and wives, when you set your marriage as the priority, here's what happens. You begin to work one to another. Here's what's happening. If you don't agree with something, remember, unity is very important, right? Amos 3:3 tells us that if we can't walk one with another where there is no unity, there's nothing good. We know, going back to the Acts, to Pentecost, that in the moment of what that was, that it was unity, it was one accord, and the presence of God was there. If we're not walking in one accord together, when we do these things called life with our spouse, listen, the Holy Spirit's not with you. He's not with you, and now you're doing it in a natural way. But the second you remember that you are of a supernatural place, and you remember that the Holy Spirit's with you, you're no longer looking at that contentious place in your marriage. You're no longer looking at that the same way, because you now have supernatural eyes to see. You have supernatural ears that when your spouse begins to pour out their heart about a situation, you're not listening to what they're saying. You're interpreting by the Holy Spirit what they mean. How many of us could use the ability to interpret what our wives are saying? It's like you're talking like this foreign language to me. I don't understand. Tell me what it is that you really need from me. Same way with men. All you know to do is just touch, squeeze, give a little tighter. It'll all go and work out. No, sometimes touching and squeezing me doesn't work. Sometimes I need you to just sit eye to eye and go, look, I really don't understand what you mean, but I'm here listening. And God's going to help me understand. God's going to help us get through this. The other day I was struggling. I was a little bit of, I'll call it mourning, he calls it. I said it was grief. He said, it's not grief, it's mourning. You're not allowed to say you're grieving. I said, okay, I'm not grieving, I'm mourning. But I thought that was 30 days in the Bible, and now we're supposed to be over that. And I'm just crying. He just keeps going around his business. Does he not hear me? Is he not listening to me? Does he not know I need him right now? You know what? This guy go up and grab his hand. Honey, it's just a rough day. I don't have to even say it. He knows what rough day means right now. Mm-hmm. And that has to be enough. I don't know what what I need. I don't even know that he knows what I need. But I know someone who knows what I need.
That's right.
Did you see that? Yes. I saw you in the corner of my eye. I got eyes in the side of my head.
Sometimes not saying nothing says something.
It's good. It's good. Sometimes staying quiet says a lot to your spouse because you don't know what to say. He's not fixing it. Did you hear that? He didn't want to fix it because you can't fix it. Only the Holy Spirit can fix it. In closing, Ephesians 5:25-21 begins to talk about us submitting our lives to one another. And I want to bring this out again because I just want to tear down the walls of women and men. Is that it says lots of times people want to start in 5:22, where it says, wives, submit yourselves. But in Ephesians 5:21, though it's not chaptered together like you think it should be, it says submitting oneself to each other. Submitting oneself. He's talking about this preface. And then it's like, and here's an example. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Like Christ does, like you do to the Lord. And then husbands, here's an example. Like you are to love her like Christ loved the church. And God put the church first. Not second, not after my job, not after my kids. First. Here's what I close with today. It's not easy. Marriage is not easy. I told a young man this the other day. I said, sometimes men and women want to fulfill their own needs through hobbies, through their job, through these other sources because they're not getting their needs met through their spouse. But you as a spouse must make sure that before you start doing all these other things, if you'll just look at your spouse's need meter, if you'll just look and you see it a little bit down, you just fill it up before that fishing trip, you fill it up before that day you go shopping with the girls, you fill it up before you decide to spend 4 days with Jesus because you're going to get away and just find out what he wants for your life, you'll never have a problem. But if you leave that glass this far down from the top, by the time you get back from doing what you're doing, another half a glass is done evaporated. And the needs of your spouse is going unmet. And we can't think, women, I'm going to talk right to you. Your children are important, and they have a lot of immediate needs. But the immediate needs of your children you cannot always think, well, my husband's mature enough. He can wait. He can wait. Your children need to see. You say, it's 8 o'clock, honey, and it's bedtime. I'm not tired. I don't want to go to bed. You know what? Then you're going to read until you fall asleep. But from 8 to 9, this is daddy's time. This is daddy and mommy time. And we got to talk about our day. We got to talk about what we're going to do tomorrow. I got to kiss your daddy and tell him I love him. I got to remember why we made people like you. You understand? Because what you're doing is you're preaching to your children the value of marriage. Ask yourself, do you want your children to marry somebody like you? Is that the best? Do you want your boys to marry a woman like you? Or do you want your daughters to marry a man that pays attention to her like you? You know, fathers have this amazing gift of making their daughters feel so special. And then they walk into these marriages, and the guy's just not about making them feel special. He's like, well, I didn't get my oil changed, so I'm not changing yours. I mean, Lexi came home the other day, she said, somebody filled my tank with gas. I said, or did her oil change? I said, well, it wasn't me. And she said, well, maybe it was dad. No, we didn't do it. We don't know how it happened. I know it's not her boyfriend. He's not home. Said from the horse's mouth. Life is better when it's ordered God's way. stand to your feet this morning. I just want to say that I made today's message more about the priority of marriage than the fixing of your marriage. And there's a reason for that. This weekend is our marriage seminar. And you can come here about unity from intimacy, how to be intimate. It's just this beautiful thing. We just did Kenton's last Friday. It was beautiful, and it was a wonderful, wonderful marriage seminar. Listen, when you show up to things that include your marriage, you're not admitting you're broke. You're just saying you want to do this better. Amen. See, I want my marriage to get richer. I don't want it to get more shallow throughout the years. How many marriages do you know that once their kids leave, they wake up next to each other and like, I don't even know why I married you. Because they built their life around their children and not each other. See, I'm going to be with this man the rest of my life. And I'm going to be with Jesus the rest of my life. My kids are going to come and go. I hear they come back. No, I'm kind of glad they're not coming back right now. I think my mom might come back for a little bit. I'm not sure. Anyways. Rand's drawing the line there. He's like, nope, she's getting married before she come back. No, I'm not. I know you're not getting married. I already know. I already know. She said, "One to be in love one time in your life is plenty. And God gave me the best, so why do I need to go a second round?" Amen. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we give you our lives. Father, we don't only have you first in our lives, Father, as the giver and the author of life. But Father, we give you our marriage. We give you the leadership of our homes. God, we unite our hearts one with another. Spouses, grab the hand of your spouse right next to you. I'm going to tell you what I told you last week. God's doing a work in the marriages in this church. I know it. God spoke it to us both. But I believe he's bringing it to a culminating point for this weekend. And I don't know what that looks like. I just sensed that the Spirit was moving last week before Randy's message. I know there's an anointing on our church to restore marriages. God spoke it. And I don't think you have to have a perfect marriage in order to do the will of God to restore a broken one. What I believe is it's the Holy Spirit that restores the broken place. Some of us have been married a really, really long time. And some of us have been going in the same cyclical behavior for a really, really long time. And it looks normal. You know, you've learned to navigate around it. You've learned to accept certain things rather than putting pressure to the hard places. To accept those failures, to accept those weaknesses, and to continue to live those in place of this world shows that God's only getting glory for certain things. I want to give God glory for all of it. I want him to look at my marriage and I want the world to go, that's a reflection of Jesus. That's the reflection of the church. Do you get that? I'm Randy's bride. So the way he treats me is equivalent to the way Jesus treats the church. And vice versa. When wives, we submit underneath that beautiful authority. And we say, honey, you know, I'm good with that. I don't have to be right in this. Why are we fighting for the allowance to be right? Why are we fighting for the headship of our home? We don't have to fight for it. When my husband serves the Lord and submits himself under it, I'll follow him anywhere. Let's visit the hard places. Let's dig down deep and find those places that we don't want to talk about, we're uncomfortable about, because we've talked about them 100 other times. This time, let's do it with the Spirit of the living God in the center. And we may leave that conversation and not have the answer. We may have to go to more fasting and more prayer. But what I know is that I've given room for the Holy Spirit to begin to re-identify the way I see my husband, the way I hear my husband, the way I walk with my husband. God wants it beautiful. He wants it so beautiful. But we can't avoid the hard things. Because with the Holy Spirit's help, he's going to transform it. Some of us don't have our relationship with Christ right. I want to be sure today that we don't leave this place without an altar call today. Like some of us need to be intentional about living our best life with our spouse. We need to be intentional about living our best life with Christ. And you're like, Pastor Nicole, I can't put my marriage in order because I don't have that first one ordered up yet. I'm still living according to the way I want to live and what feels good to me, not what God's asking me to do. I'm going to ask you to be intentional today and to search your heart and say, God, I want to live life the correct way. I want to put my life in order. I want to have it ordered by you because I know it's better. But how? How? I don't even know where to start. It starts just by accepting Him as Savior of your life. You need a helper. You need the Comforter. You need Jesus to wash away your sin. And then He gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit who will help you. And He'll walk with you through the highs, the lows, the goods, the bad, through failure, through success. That's what He does. And He does it far better than any of us humans can do. But we'll do our best to help and to love you accordingly. If you're here today in this house and you're like, I want to know Jesus. I want to make Him the orderer of my life. I want to put Him above everything else in my life. And that's you. Then just slip up your hand to me. Yes, 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 yes. Praise God. Praise God. And yes. Praise Jesus. Prayer team, you got those four? Okay. We're going to pray an all-inclusive prayer today. But those of you that raised your hand, there's going to be a person coming to you. And they're going to meet you where you are. And they're going to get your name and they're going to start helping you walk through some things in the church. We're going to start discipleship with you. See, because it's not enough to just tell you about this Savior that wants to forgive your sin. But we're going to help you walk with Him. We're going to tell you what's next in your life. And we're going to start to get around you as a family. And we're going to start to love on you and to ensure that you succeed. Every head bowed in this house today. And let's just all say this prayer together. And after you say this prayer, girls, you will be saved. Say, Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. I denounce the devil and all your works. I believe that Jesus died and rose again on the third day for me. I accept that today, Jesus. And I'm going to live for you. In Jesus' name. Now, if any of you that said that prayer today for the first time, if someone doesn't approach you after church, I'm going to be down front. Pastor Randy and I and all of our prayer team is coming down. And every marriage here today, if you want prayer for something specific, we're going to pray for you. I'm asking every pastor in the house and our prayer team to come forward. And I'm asking that we would lay hands on these marriages that need something specific. I believe God's working and going to do some things this weekend. But if you cannot be here this weekend, you need to be in this prayer line. Because we want to touch the marriage and the priority of God on your life. And we're going to watch Him do a work. We believe there's an anointing to heal that which is broke in your families, and only believe is a part of that. Come down, pastors. Prayer team, come down. Don't forget, if you gave your life to Jesus, is there anyone that's not been approached yet? Okay, I see those girls gone. That's gone. And girl, I got her. We'll get her after. Yep, the red is with her. Okay, so we've got them. All right, good. Praise the Lord. If you want prayer in your marriage, we are here. If not, Father, we thank you for this family of faith. We thank you for these people. And God, we just ask that you would watch over them and keep them as they go in their way. Keep them safe. Father, bring someone to their life this week that they could share the gospel with and share their faith and invite to church that they could be invited to be a lover of you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. We'll see you on Wednesday night, church.